So hopefully this has been a fruitful week for all of us here as we look forward to the future. Today we will look at being fruitful, for my title for today is Fruitful People Are Faithful, or should it be Faithful People Are Fruitful? Either way, you know, it's positive to do. I believe they go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. You know, someone who is fruitful is also faithful. Someone who is faithful is also going to be fruitful in his life. So turn with me to an example of Moses and the Israelites so we understand who they were and who we are. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. Where the Israelites are special people at that time to God, and this is what Moses says to them. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Well, that's what the Israelites were, and we ourselves are special to God at this time. And note this with me, if you turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. We'll begin reading there. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. You know, about Jesus Christ being our high priest. That's what the theme of the whole book of Hebrews is, that we have a high priest, and that is Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, in reference to Christ, more glory for Christ than Moses even, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. You know, he was faithful in his responsibility, Moses had at that time. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. You know, we have to endure to the end and have this hope in Christ, looking to him to lead us. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. That was when Israel rebelled in the wilderness, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, or provoked Christ at the time, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest that he had for them. So then the writer of Hebrews says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But we are to exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You know, we look to Christ as our leader, our captain of our salvation. Verse 15, then, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your voices as in the rebellion. For who have heard rebelled indeed, that is not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses. Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we, therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since the promise remains of entering the rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. So we too, to enter the rest, have to believe in Jesus Christ, continue to look to him to lead us through the events that may transpire in our lives. Let us also notice, if you would, follow me over to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. The heading of my psalm here in the New King James Version, it says, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. You know, so we start out verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises in your name, O Most High, which we have done today, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sounds. For you, O Lord, have made me glad. Through your work, I will triumph in the works of your hands. In other words, we are allowing God to work with us. Bring up. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, or eternal, or Jesus Christ here, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like the wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Yes, we should be singing praise to our great God, Jesus Christ. And it says here, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Yes, we should flourish even in our old age. We should be profitable to God, as it says here. Even bear fruit in our old age. And as we look out here, it looks like there's a few of us in that age group, old age. There's gray hair, and there's some with shiny heads too out here. So we're out here, but we are to still be producing fruit, no matter how many years we may have been in the church. 20 to 60 years, we are still here to be able to produce fruit. You know, we're to be, as it says here, in our old days and carry on, we should be bearing fruit. You might think of the old trees in an orchard that maybe as a youth may have climbed in. I know on my folks' farm, we had an old orchard and had those big old trees. And you'd go out there and climb in those trees, and you'd figure out one of those trees. You might even take some lumber up there and make a little pad to sit on up there in the old tree. But the old tree was good. It had gone through a lot, you know, but it would still be producing fruit, the apple trees. And because through the years, you know, they've been pruned, the trees, they've gone through storms, maybe even insect invasion or whatever, but they're still around, still producing fruit from time to time in the old orchard. Okay, and as it says here in verse 15 that we read, we are to declare that God is upright. He is our rock. Jesus Christ should be our rock as we go through events in our lives, because there's no unrighteousness in him. As he leads us in our lives, he's not doing anything out of unrighteously. He's righteous in him. And for those of us that have been many years in the church, we have many experiences. We can relate to one another that Christ has been there for us, hasn't he, through the years. Looking back, that yes, Christ was there. He protected us, brought us through, and everything. And let's notice, as we go forward, now we've left, as we heard in the sermonette, in the hymn, Egypt, and we have to go forward. Let's notice what Christ and God the Father desire of us. If you turn with me now to John chapter 15, we'll begin reading. John 15, verse 1, a very familiar scripture that most of us probably read on Passover evening, where Christ said, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. I know, like Amy and I were talking about pruning. She remembers when she had the fruit trees at her place. She said, you really hated to go out there and start pruning those trees. You know, you thought, well, can't this branch produce fruit or not? But you'd have to go and cut it out, maybe diseased or whatever. So then Christ says, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. In other words, we need Christ in us, guiding and directing us to bear righteous fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned, you know, at the end of the age. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. For this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You know, if Christ can produce fruit from us, you know, we glorify the Father in that. In verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that you may remain in you, my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Yeah, so this is what Jesus Christ and God the Father desires of us, that we abide in him and he lives within us. You know, we've been eating that unleavened bread this past week here, symbolizing Christ in us to give us nourishment. So, as we read, to bear fruit, let's go back to the book of Hebrews once again. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. The author writes, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, and we need help to overcome and grow, you know, go boldly to God's throne, as it says here, that throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and be useful at the end. So, if we consider as a metaphor that we are God's orchard or vineyard and are to be bearing fruit, if you would turn with me over to Luke chapter 13. Another example about a vineyard, Luke chapter 13. We have a parable of Christ. Starts off in this chapter where there are some individuals who come to Christ and have this problem because of death to individuals. Well, let's begin in verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do not suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed him, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish." So commentaries seem to say what Christ was bringing out. The Jewish faith had this idea that if you sin and punishment came upon you, it's because you were sinners, you know. That's why it was, and Christ was trying to bring out, not necessarily, you know, accidents happen. It doesn't necessarily mean because God the Father thought you were wicked, he brought this wickedness on you. But then we go on here, he spoke this parable, beginning in verse 6 now. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground, take up the ground space?" But he answered, and this is the groundskeeper, and said to him, "Sir, let it alone for this year also, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if it's not, after that, you can cut it down." So, you know, some use that a certain man here, beginning in verse 6, is God the Father. He's called and said an individual, and the groundskeeper is Jesus Christ, who's going to work with us, you know, our high priest that we now know that we have, but we are to produce fruit here, and Christ will cause things that occur in our life that we will turn to him and we will produce fruit in our life, bear fruit. So I don't know how many of you have had fruit through the trees through the years and everything. Let's see. I have another scripture here. I'll turn to it. I'm not quite sure why I put it in my notes now. Well, we'll go on. So I don't know how many of you ever had fruit trees on your property and you decide to put fruit trees in. Maybe they were apple, peaches, or pears. Today I'd like to look at sweet cherry trees. One thing I always liked was sweet cherries. Growing up on the farm, we had a couple of those trees side by side. Always like when it come around to July 4th weekend, that's when the sweet cherries came in. It was a joy to go out and pick sweet cherries at that time, I remember. But one thing about sweet cherries is that if you plant a Bing sweet cherry tree, you need another tree for pollination for it to produce a good fruit. So, you know, those of us who have planted trees for fruit, you know, how we take care of them. We put fencing around the saplings and around a tree to keep the rabbits or the deer away from destroying them. You know, just like us, we need protection, so we need to put on the full armor of God always, because we have a Satan that would like to destroy us. Well, we put fence around those saplings and fruit trees so that they aren't destroyed by the deer or the rabbits. I know it may not quite be quite right to make a comparison between Satan and the deer, but I tell you, you've ever planted fruit trees and then went out and found them destroyed by deers having ate off the top or having the rabbits debark them at the bottom. You feel rather upset, just like Satan had interfered in your life, you know, because you put the work in and now they've been destroyed by this, the deer or the rabbits. So, yes, we need that protection. So we are to be fruitful people and faithful people to rely on Christ to take care of us. So then, as I mentioned earlier, sweet cherries taste so good, you know, when they come in as fruit of the year every year. But it has to be that they had a pollinator tree there, another cherry tree for cross-pollination. For as it says, according to the article I found online, My Garden Life, it said, sweet cherry trees need a pollinating plant nearby to produce a large harvest. Along the cherry tree is not highly effective in producing fruit without the pollinator. And you get another tree that will blossom at the same time as your sweet cherry tree blossoms, so they can cross-pollinate. And to do that, they say they should be placed within 20 feet of one another to have that pollination take place. And then it says those cherry trees like that, sweet cherry trees, might take 5 to 7 years after planting before you do have fruit on them. So regarding pollination, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, we need one another, and that's why God's commanded the seventh-day Sabbath, so we can assemble together and we can help one another. We cross-pollination here. We can encourage one another, to strengthen one another by coming together at this time so we can exhort one another. So a way that we have it is taken in our life. And remember, by keeping the Sabbath day, we are obeying him. And then can remember the second great commandment that Christ said in Matthew 22 and verse 39. And the second commandment is like it: you shall have love your neighbor as yourself. And this, doing this, we're producing fruit. You know, we have to learn to love our brother and sister in Christ. David wrote as an ascent psalm, Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Yes, to have unity. That's what Christ is bringing us, to come into unity with one another. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Let me meet Ephesians 4 and verse 3, where we read, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yes, come together in unity, the bond of peace. And verse 13 as well, dropping 4 and verse 13, where we read, till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, in other words, if we want to come to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, who is the captain of our salvation, we have to have unity and peace with one another. You know, as I was thinking of this pollination, we need a brother or sister. You know, it could very well be that Maybe God the Father may have planted that brother or sister to help you to produce more fruit in your life. You know, that brother and sister we have in the church that maybe we don't quite get along with, maybe he's saying, you know, that's why that brother or sister is there, to help us to come to the unity of faith, to reach out to one another, and to work, as it says in Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. So if we're having a brother or sister problem, we need to go to them and talk it over with him. And then down to verse 20, it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So if you have problems with a brother or sister, and you go and talk with them, you know, maybe two of you together, and you'd like to lead off with a prayer as you get together, and Christ says, I'll be there in the midst of them, you know, you're going to come to unity working there with Christ if you come together like that. And you know, the encouragement that we can have as we continue to go forward, Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. For now, Paul writes, for now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life. So, yes, we are to be producing fruit. The fruit that we're producing should be coming to holiness, and at the end, Paul says there's everlasting life that is going to be there for us. And as it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 9, what the fruit of the Spirit is, in case we're not quite aware, what kind of fruit would that be? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So that is finding out that is acceptable to the Lord. So we are to, and then continuing verse 11 here, it says, but have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So yeah, we just goodness, righteousness, and truth. And James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, we continue to work with one another to have unity and want peace between one another. That is righteousness, and it's peaceful events. So then, to conclude here, get to my final scripture, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Just as we read about ancient Israelites, this is concerning us, that we are called sitting here. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Yes, I'm looking out here at a chosen generation. You're chosen by God the Father, and you're special to him and to Jesus Christ. They want to see fruit in you. They're working with you. So always faithfully, we have to look to Christ and God the Father. Remember what we read there in Psalm 93. There, we want to always give praise to God the Father and Jesus Christ for our calling and for what they're doing, because as we did read, Christ does righteous works in our lives if we allow him, if we yield to him. So being faithful, you know, we look to Jesus Christ. So then can we remember this then? Faithful people are fruitful, or is it fruitful people are faithful?